My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. I'm Mike Salem. That continues to be our purpose here at CWH, to deliver Dad's timeless messages to the world. This year marks our 45th year of Christian Worship Hour. During this month, we will share special highlights of CWH throughout the years. In 1979, our television ministry began live on Sunday mornings right here in Aberdeen, South Dakota, with one television station. Years later, CWH moved to a separate location with a recording studio airing on 46 television stations. Today, our newer location includes office space, production space, broadcasting on 86 stations, 7 networks, and shortwave radio airing worldwide. We are grateful for your prayers and financial gifts used to spread the good news, and Lord willing, we will continue to gather together each week. Today, my dad in his sermon, "Is There Any Good News from God?" will share scripture to help us when we are discouraged. We hope you will be encouraged by today's program. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, God has brought us on our way another week, and we're gathering all over the world, and we're going to gather at the feet of Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, and we're going to worship Him and rejoice in the great and wonderful Savior. And our sermon topic today, our title is There Any Good News from God? Is there any news from God? And it's all good news. And so maybe you could call your friends, because it's news that'll help us if we're having hard times, or maybe we're discouraged, or maybe you lost a loved one taken home, or something like that. Well, there's good news from God, and so just call a neighbor and tell him, tune us in. But we're going to look first of all at Psalm 111 and the opening verses, where the psalmist writes, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Isn't that beautiful? Heavenly Father, thank you for that you're such a great God. You're so kind and loving, and you're mindful of us that we're in the flesh. And your dear Son Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. And as a father pitieth his children, so we are told you pity those who trust you and love you. So we just love you, dear Heavenly Father. Just love your dear Son Jesus, and pray that you'll bless us in this service, that we'll honor your name and help others to come and trust that wonderful, wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we've got Hank with us today, and he's going to sing a song. I know you'll enjoy it and love it. "I Must Tell Jesus." And God bless you, Hank.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. Cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, 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 Jesus can help me. Jesus alone, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Well, thank you, Hank, and amen to that. And isn't that true? We are going along and all of a sudden something comes up, or we have some sorrow, or we have some temptation, or maybe we feel like we failed the Lord and we feel bad about it, and we just go and talk to Jesus. I must tell Jesus. You know, my mother, of course, she was the main force in my life. My dad wasn't a Christian. He didn't know the Lord. And you know, if you don't have Jesus, you can't really talk about him. You can't give out something you don't have. Well, my mother knew the Lord Jesus and trusted him. And from day one, she taught us about the Bible stories, and she prayed with us, and every night she'd give us a kiss. And you know something else about my mother? She used to sing as she worked. And we didn't have electricity, and we didn't have running water. And so you can imagine the hard work she had to do. And I remember her singing the hymns, and one of the hymns she would sing was, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. He'll help me, he'll help me. That wonderful Jesus will help us. And that's why you need to know Jesus. And you need to know him personally. You need to have him in your heart. And you say, well, I don't have him in my heart, and I don't know how do you get him in my heart. And you just ask him. You just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you, dear Jesus, to come into my heart, take away my sins, and make me your child. And I'll trust you and follow you and serve you the best way I know how. And thank you, Jesus. That just in your own words. Just don't get fancy. Just talk to him, and he'll come into your heart. I was 10 years old. And boy, as a 10-year-old, I was behind my times. I'll tell you, we didn't have radio, and we didn't have television, and I couldn't read the newspapers. And boy, was I behind time. But I heard about Jesus, and he'd save sinners. And I knew I'd done things wrong. I'd sassed my mother, not when she could hear me, I'll tell you that. I'd sass her behind her back. See, when I was outside, I'd sass her. And I knew that wasn't right. Jesus forgave me all my sins. And he's in my heart for 86 years. Oh, dear Jesus. Well, we have some letters. And I know you like the letters because you write in and you tell us how you enjoy it. But what other people are thinking and what other people are doing. And I'm going to read some letters. And I hope that you'll write, and you get your pencil and paper out and be ready, because I'll give you the address a little bit later, and then you can write too. But this letter comes from Gillette, Wyoming. My husband and I are shut-ins. We like to listen to your service and enjoy how you are reaching out to people in jails and other places. It's a joy to listen how God is using your worship hour. We are 91 and 92 years of age. And November 2nd, we will be married 70 years. We thank God he left us here. We hope to try to help others to come to God. and for people to get married. We pray for you and pray for us. We hope this offering will help you to reach others in Christ. Now, there's several things here. One thing, 70 years in November. What does she say? November 2nd, 70 years. And when they made that pledge, they stuck together as long as they lived and they kept their word. And so good. That's what we know. And then, look what she says, and we're praying that others will get married too. And if you're not married and you're living together, you ought to get to Jesus and ask for the forgive your sins, ask him to come into your heart, and then you get married and you'll be happier and God will bless you. It's just wonderful. God's way is one man and one woman, male and female, and that's it. Well, let's see, Wahpeton, North Dakota. I've been there. It's a great town. And this lady writes, I live in my wheelchair. I live in my wheelchair. I'm about 97, praying for God's care at this nursing home. I'm so thankful for your encouraging services, and I love you all. And so here's what happens. And Paul tells about it, the Apostle Paul, he says, the body will fall apart. The body will decay. It will break down. It will become weak. Well, I'm 95, and I'm going to tell you that's exactly right. But he says that your spirit will become stronger. Your body becomes weaker. He calls it the outward body and the inward man, that spirit within us. It becomes stronger. And so you say, well, you're getting closer to the grave. I says, no, I'm not getting closer to the grave. I'm getting closer to heaven. That's the way to look at it. But you can't look at it that way if you don't have Jesus. Got to have Jesus. See, he's the way to heaven. And so it's just wonderful here. This person is, you know, the body's starting to give out, and she's in the wheelchair, but her spirit. And she's not free of a bodily, but her spirit is free as a bird in the breeze, because it's liberated from sin. She's loving the Lord and living with the Lord and getting stronger, not weaker. Let me see, here's Williamsbury, Kansas. And thank you for your ministry. It definitely glorifies God and is refreshing to my soul. May God continue to bless you all. And you know, I thought this refreshing to my soul, where does that come from? Comes from the Word of God. And when our musicians sing about Jesus and sing about God and sing about his word, it refreshes a soul. And when I preach, I just use the Bible. I had an old seminary professor. He's told all of the young pastors, he says, get all the Bible you can into your sermons, saturated with the word of God, because that's where the power is. That's where the refreshing comes from. We can't do it of ourselves, but the wonderful living Word of God can do it. Harristown, Illinois. And says, oh yeah, I remember when I said this. I love your expression that you sometimes felt lower than a snake's belt buckle. That describes my feelings most of the time. Well, sometimes you can get pretty low and pretty scrudged, but you don't want it most of the time. And you don't have to have it most of the time. Because, you know, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Well, we know what that's all about. We have it to one degree or another. But here in the United States, we don't know what tribulation is. If you want to go to tribulation, you go to the Middle East. You go to some of those places like Iraq and Iran and some of those places, and they're putting them to death there. The tribulation there leads to their death. Well, we haven't had that yet. And so, but we do have troubles and trials and sorrows. And so Jesus says, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That means that when you see that the devil is in the saddle, the world is in the saddle and is riding straight to hell, and you don't know what's going to happen and you're scared to death, then you just remember what God says. Jesus says here, I have overcome the world. That is, says, I am over the world. I'm over all creation. I'm going to have the last word, Buster, and don't you forget it. And when things go bad and things are sour and you get worried and nervous about the World War III and World War IV and all the bombs and all of the rest of it, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I'm in control. And I'm just going to wait just a little longer for somebody to come to me, somebody to be saved, but I'll have the last word. So just settle down. And if you don't believe me, read the book of Revelation. Spells it all out, just clear as a bell. Well, let's see, Huntsville, Alabama. We lived in Alaska for 5 years and attended a local church. However, many times my parents were sick and found it so comforting and rewarding to listen to your services. We appreciate your long career of service to the Lord. And now they're living in Huntsville, Alabama. And so I got to thinking, you know, people do move a lot. You'd be surprised from our mailing list how many people move every month. And it's hard to keep up with you all, but we try. But you maybe move from Alaska here to Alabama, and you say, oh, I wonder if I can get the Christian Worship Hour. Now, this is what you do. You get on the website, and you get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we have a brand new, beautiful website, and it'll take away your breath, but just for a little bit, so you won't have any trouble. You won't die. But it's just beautiful. And it tells all about our ministries, and it tells about our devotions, it tells about our sermons, it even tells how you can send money over the internet. Isn't that wonderful? And when I give the announcement, I won't forget to tell you about that. But just look up that, just get that website. But the point is, if you move from Alaska to Alabama, and you say, can I get the Christian Worship Hour? You get it on ChristianWorshipHour.com. We got all the schedules, and you can find us because we're on Dish, we're on regular television, we're on satellite, we're on internet, we're all over the place. It's hard to get away from us. And that's good. That's good for you and good for us. And so you just check us out. It'll give you a thrill. You'll be blessed. Tucson, Arizona. Your preaching is not old time, but forever time. I just like that. Your preach is not old time. Yeah, I am an old time preacher. You know, I try to be young and fancy and everything. I put on this new cologne and everything you got, but I'm an old timer. You know, I'm not an older, different generation. I'm from a different century. I'm from the 19th century. And here in the 20th century, look at me in the 21st century, I guess. And so you talk about being old. Had a little boy in the class, in the Sunday school. He asked me if I was on Noah's Ark. And I told him, no, I wasn't on Noah's Ark. And he scratched his head and he says, well, how come he didn't drown then? Well, I'm not quite that old, but I'm old, but I like this. See, now you're not only old time, but forever time. And what does the Bible tell us? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Praise God. You betcha it's the old time and it's up to time. I'm going to tell you the Bible is relevant. It's a living word of the living God. It's 3,000 years old and it's the living word of the living God. And if I want to read what happened yesterday, I read the newspaper. If I want to read what's going to happen tomorrow, I read the Bible. It's alive, and it speaks to your heart and your soul. Oh, it's a beautiful book. Let's see here. Glendale, California says, Shalom. First time to hear you. Appreciated your sermon on Prophet Samuel. You said it all. All I needed to hear. I'm 88. The Lord bless you. First time heard us. And I got to thinking, maybe there's others that haven't heard us. And you could call and tell them. You know what? Our whole congregation could double overnight if every one of you would find somebody new and tell them about the Christian Worship Hour. And I'll give you the information, but I'll do one more letter. Have to do this letter. It says here, Cheyenne, Wyoming. I thank the Lord for your ministry. Your ministry plants seeds across our nation and yet across the whole world, and yes, across the whole world. Be encouraged. These seeds will yield a harvest through the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for preaching the truth of God's word and the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you and encourage you. This is right on because, you know, God tells us that my word will not return unto me void. It'll accomplish the purpose to which it has been sent. And when we preach the Bible, it's going to accomplish just what God wants it to accomplish. But somebody has to preach it. And I can't preach it unless you support us. And that's what I want to talk about now. We need your help to support us to carry on this work. And what you need to do is you need to think this way. Is that service something that God is using? Is it God honoring? Is it something that will help in the kingdom? And if you feel that and it is, then you give us, you help us financially. And you just ask the Lord, Lord, now should I give to that organization? Should I give to the Christian Worship Hour? And he'll say, maybe he'll say yes. I hope he'll say yes. And then you say, well, what should I give? And he'll tell you. And then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And that's where you're going to see that beautiful new website, Christian Worship Hour. And it's box 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then on that Christian Worship Hour website, there's a place where it'll say donate. And then you check that. That means you're going to give something. And this is good all over the world. We get letters from Norway. We get gifts from Norway and the Philippines and several other countries. And it comes in American currency so we can pay our bills. And so you just take it and it says, and it'll say donate. And then you put donate. And then it'll say, well, and then you can put down PayPal. And you put down whatever you want to give. And we're not underwritten by any organization or in a corporation or church or denomination. It's just God's people giving to God's work. And if you want to know if the money's spent wisely, you are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And you can get that on the website and you can get their website and see all exactly what they are. There's one other thing I want to mention, and that is we have a little monthly Bible study that we put out. It's called The New Song, The New Song. And this month, the month of June, we're talking about overcoming discouragement, 8 ways to overcome discouragement. And it's free and postpaid. You write to us, and for you on those of you on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need your help. We need your prayers. So now I'm going to pray for the offering. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. Heavenly Father, thank you for all those who help us to make this possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Absolutely beautiful. In Christ alone. It's all in Jesus. All in Jesus. Well, we're reading from Philippians chapter 4. And if you'd like to turn to that, we're going to begin with the 4th verse. And the Apostle Paul is writing this to the church at Philippi, and he's in prison, and a stinking prison, and they were terrible places. And yet he's rejoicing in Christ, and he's telling about how the God helps him. And so let's look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Isn't that a beautiful chapter? Beautiful. Blesses the soul. Now we're going to pray. And you know, every Sunday, every week, we pray for one of the persecuted church in one of the countries. We're going to pray for the persecuted church in India today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for St. Paul. We thank you. He was so dedicated, and he was stayed with you, and he wrote most of the New Testament. And he gave us such great and wonderful teachings as in the book of Romans. And so we just thank you that you have raised him up, called him on the road to Damascus, spoke to him out of heaven, and he turned to you, a brilliant man, and gave all his talents to your work and the advancement of the kingdom. And so we just thank you for this little epistle, Philippians, and how it encourages us to know, as he says in the scriptures now, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And Lord, in our service today, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in India. They're part of the body of Christ, just as we are a part of the body of Christ. They're part of our family. We're part of their family. And we're family scattered all over the world. But right now, we're gathering at your feet, gathering by the Spirit to worship you. But someday, the trumpet's going to sound. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will be raised first. And then though the rest of us will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll all be together in heaven from all over the world for all time. And won't that be something? So Heavenly Father, thank you for the hope we have through this wonderful gospel. And we pray that there'll be multitudes will open their heart to Jesus and become a part of that family. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb's going to sing for us This Old Place. And God bless you, Barb.
Leaning up at this old place, everything inside is gone. We sold the house to a stranger here. My family's moved on. Cedar chest, the rocking chair, the old piano too. They have moved to another place, So here's what I must do. Remember, this is not my home. I just live here for a while. A place to live and laugh and love, making memories as a child. My new home waits on the other side, where my treasures lie in store. Though we do grieve for this old place, 'cause heaven holds much more. This old place reminds me of our earthly house of clay. Trade for one that's nullified when our Lord returns one day. In our Father's house above, there's a mansion bright and fair, and the ones we loved in this old place are waiting for us there. Remember, this is not our home. We just live here for a while. A place to live and laugh and love, making memories as a child. My new home waits on the other side, where my treasures lie in store. Though we do grieve for this old place, 'cause heaven holds much more. As a child, my new home waits on the other side, where my treasures lie in store. Though we do grieve for this old place, 'cause heaven holds much more.
Thank you, Barb, and that's exactly right. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. So don't get your roots too deep, as like one man says. Don't build your nest too fancy. You're just passing through. And oh, I want that to be something when we see that city not made with hands, but made by God. And we're going to enter in, and there's going to be a place for all of those of us who have trusted Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? Have you been born again? You say, oh, I don't know being born again. I don't even know how to get born again. How you get born again? I've been born once. How can I get it again? Well, that's what Jesus said. You must be born again. I'll tell you how you go to be born again. You see yourself as a poor lost sinner, and you know that you got to get rid of those sins because there's no sin in heaven. So you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sin. And when you ask him to do that, he'll come into your heart, and you promise to serve him the best you can, and you're born again. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you're a child of God, and you'll never go to hell. You'll never be lost. But you just ask him into your heart. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Well, we want to talk about something else today. I want to talk about, is there any good news from God? When I wrote this title, you notice I didn't say, is there any good news from man? Because I'm going to tell you, if you want to know what kind of news man is making, just look at the evening news, or watch it on radio or television, the evening news. And you'll see what man is doing. And boy, there's death and there's hunger and there's starving and there's babies crying and there's elderly people suffering and there's torments and torture and everything all over the world. Is there any good news from man? Not much, if there's any, at least not on the evening news. And I'm getting so I go don't like to watch the evening news because it leaves me with a heartache and a stomachache and a backache probably a heartache. To see how what man is doing. That's what I get from man. So I'm not going to preach, is there any good news from man? Is there any good news from God? And I can tell you, yes, there is, and there's plenty, and it's beautiful, and it's all good news. So let's look at them here. I got 8 different things. I don't know if I'll get them all done, but we're going to do our best. Now, here's the first one I put down, is that the good news is that God loves me. God tells me he loves me in John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. God loves the world. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there's a life-size marble statue of Christ writhing in anguish on the cross. The statue is subscribed underneath. This is how God loved the world. And so he said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And he came and died for us. And Paul tells us something else. He tells us that even when we were bad, even when we were in our sins, he loved us. Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. Listen to this. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you see this wonderful love of Jesus. You say, oh, I've sinned terribly. He never loved me. He loves you. He hates your sin. He loves you. And he wants you to come to him and find everlasting life. And when Peter denied Jesus, you remember that, with oaths and curses, he'd been with Jesus 3 years. And that was a more honest man than Peter. And he said, I'll die for you. But when he came to that before Pilate, and they're going to crucify him, and then they see him on the cross, and they see him die on the cross, and Peter left him. He swore he didn't even know him, and he left him, and he went back to Galilee, down to fishing. That was his profession. But Jesus came to Galilee. He didn't say to send Peter up. He went down to Galilee, and he prayed a breakfast, and he had him come, and he talked to him, and he said, Peter, lovest thou me? And I'm sure Peter thought when he denied him and walked away, he says, God, Jesus is done with me. I blew it. He'll never have anything to do with me. He still loved that man and opened his arms to him and took him back. And so I don't care what you've said, what kind of sins you've done. I don't know where you are. Well, you come to Jesus, he loves you, and he wants to forgive you your sins, and he'll do it right, and he'll do it because that's the grace of God. You didn't deserve it, and I didn't deserve it, but he'll do it. And then the second thing we get from God, he will save us. Peter tells us then in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God in heaven wants everyone to come to him and repent. And repentance means they confess their sins and they turn from their sins. Repentance is a turning. And you just don't accept Jesus and then go back to your old evil ways. You break from them the best you can. And you'll never be perfect, but you have to strive to be perfected. Work for perfection and see how you can do it. And when you fail, just go to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. He loves you. He wants you to come to him. And then God will keep us safe after we're saved. And when we receive Jesus, we become the sheep of his pasture, and we're safe. And so Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, and 29, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he says something else. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. We are safe and we're secure. And then the Lord Jesus just tells us, when you come to me, I'll take you in my hands. And I talked to a man, he talked to me not long ago. He says, my wife just died. I'm calling you to pray for me. And he says, while she was dying, I said, just hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus, see? But you know that God bless his soul. He didn't know it. We don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to us. If I was planning on having my strength to hold on to Jesus, I wouldn't have any peace at all. But in John 10, 28 and 29, he says, I hold them in my hand. I hold them. They don't hold me. And then somebody says, well, what if I get out of his hand? What if I sin? And I says, that you mean you're stronger than God? What's the matter with you anyway, my friend? Get with it. So we're saved, and we're saved forever. And then this wonderful thing, the other good news is, God will give us help all along the way. And Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he will just give me help to go through this world, because I know he's going to have the last word. He is on the throne. Satan isn't on the throne. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he's doing a lot of evil in the world, but he's not the king. Jesus Christ is the king. He'll have the last word. Leave it in his hands. Oh, what a joy it is. And just remember that Paul writes, and he says that Jesus talked to him, and Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to take it away. We don't know what the thorn was, some kind of a malady, but it was in the flesh. It was something to do with the body. And he asked him to take it away. And God says, no. And then Paul says, he prayed, take it away. And then pretty soon Jesus says, Paul, don't you ask anymore to be relieved of that thorn in the flesh, because I'm not going to heal you. And what did Paul do? Well, did he get all mad and all upset? Oh, no. Well, Paul says, then I glory in my infirmity. I glory in this thorn in the flesh. Some people think it was his eyesight. Maybe he's going blind. I don't know. But he says, I glory in the fact I'm going blind or whatever it is. I glory in it because it's the Father's will. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. We pray for deliverance. And sometimes he delivers us. And sometimes he doesn't deliver us. But he goes with us and takes care of us, like the three Hebrew children cast in the fiery furnace. And they were to be burned to a cinder. But they didn't even smell of the smoke, because the Lord went with them. He didn't deliver them from the furnace. He walked through the furnace with them. And I'm going to tell you something, if you want a blessing, it's a lot bigger blessing to walk through the furnace than to be healed and never have a battle. But to go through the battle with Jesus, that's where the glory is. And Paul held up that infirmity like a flag. And he says, this is what I'm doing for the Lord. And I'm serving him and following him and loving him. And then it goes on. Another good news is, my God will watch over me. That is, he never gives us a burden too heavy to carry. And sometimes some people say, I'm just at the breaking point, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, and I don't know how I'm going to do that, and I don't know how I'm going to get through all these things. Well, just remember this, dear friends, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful God, he blesses us. He tells us, for instance, he gives us a picture. He pictures how he cares for us with a tree. He says in Psalm chapter 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so here's Paul, here's the psalmist. And he says, this God, he's put me by the water. And so when the drought comes, I'll have plenty of water because I'm right by the waters, right by the stream. I'm taking care of you. I remember the depression, and I remember the creek that went through our place, and there were trees all along the creek, and the creek dried up, and the trees all died. They had no source. It was a horrible time in the depression years, the 30s. But this psalmist says, I'm trimmed by the living waters, and I'll always have strength, and I'll give you help through the troubles and trials of life. You see it again with Elijah. And God tells Elijah to go to the brook Cherith. And he says, now I want you to hide there because Ahab wants to kill you. The king wants to kill you. And you go stay there, and I'll probably give the water in this brook there. And then I'll have the ravens. And I'll have them bring you in the morning, and I'll have them bring you at night. And I've thought of that so many times. Dear Lord, you want me to plant my whole living on some birds flying through there, ravens? They don't look very good. Maybe if it's a beautiful hawk or maybe an eagle or something, but an ugly old raven. And what if they get mad or they don't come or they get scared or they forget? But every morning, every night, it was there. And then the water stopped. And so God says, now you go to the woman here at Cherith and Zareth. And so he took care of him. The point is that God takes care of us. He keeps us. We're safe and he watches over us. And then he'll protect us in the hard places. And it says, for instance, in Colossians, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means that he is in us and we're in him. It's like, for instance, a sponge and you put it in a bucket of water. Now, is the water in the sponge or is the sponge in the water? They're inseparable. They're all entwined together. And that's what he tells us in Colossians. Your life is dead. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And oh, so that we're so close to him that we're joint heirs with Christ. And for us to be lost, we'd have Jesus to be lost. And that's impossible. That's blasphemy to talk like that. We are as safe as Jesus Christ because we're clothed with his righteousness. And when we went to the cross, we were all in sin and all in shame, and we didn't know what to do. And Jesus cleansed us, and then he clothed us. And he had that wonderful garment, a beautiful garment. It's the righteousness of Christ. And when we stand before one of those 12 pearly gates, we're going to stand there. And when we come to that gate, it's going to swing wide open because they wouldn't dare refuse Jesus Christ. And I'm in Christ. And I'm safe and secure. And all through life, I'm secure. Oh, talk about good news. And I'm going to tell you, you can't get that from the Congress or the president or anybody else. Because man's word is so fickle so many times, and sometimes they don't keep their word, not because they don't want to, sometimes they can't. But God is never limited, and there'll never be a time that he can't take care of me. And I'm getting excited because I'm 95 years old, going on 96, and I am excited about it. I'm going to make that trip, and he's going to be with me, and I'm going to see those gates. The one gate is made with one pearl. It's so huge. And I'm going to swing wide open. And God doesn't have one. He's got 12 gates into heaven. And I don't know which one I'll take. I'll take the one closest, whatever Jesus takes me in. Oh, won't that be beautiful? See, talk about good news. You can't get that at the Walmart. You can't get that at the supermarket. You can't get that online. There's only one way you can get it, and I'll tell you how. You come to Jesus. And you tell him, Jesus, I'm not worthy of anything. I'm a horrible sinner. I've done sin. I've sinned against light. I've sinned against good people. I've been a wretch. And I ask you, please, just to take away my sins, and I'll abandon those sins, and I'll walk with you the best I can. And you will never be perfect till you get to the pearly gates, because in this life we fail so many times, but he always forgives us. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this wonderful Jesus forgives us and cleanses us and washes it away. And so I sin. And then by George, I go out and I do the same thing. I lose my temper. Suppose it's the thing with the temper. I'm not going to tell you what my sins are because none of your business. But I got them just like anybody else, see? So I go to Jesus. And I go to, I was just there yesterday and I haven't come back today. And I'm asking him to forgive me. And how many times will he forgive me? Million times. Million times. What does the Bible say? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as far as I sin, that grace of God is greater. And he'll take care of me and he'll forgive me. And I'll stumble into heaven, but I'll be there. And I won't stumble anymore. Oh, my gracious, what a beautiful Savior. And so then we come to the last one that I've got down. He's going to take me home someday. And he talked about that. Life's journey is going to be over. And we're going to come to the valley of the shadow of death. And you know how long the valley of the shadow of death is? Is it an hour? Is it a month? Is it a year? Is it till I get nice or something? You know how long the valley of the shadow of death is? One breath. One breath. We take our last breath on earth and the next breath is in heaven. We pass through it that fast and Jesus goes with us. And so Jesus told the disciples and they were worried because he was going to leave them. He'd been with them 3 years now. He's going to go to heaven. He says, I'll send somebody to help you. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, he's saying it's not enough just to believe in God. Well, the devil believes in God. You believe in God, believe also in me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. The way to heaven is not through a church or a ritual or works or money or anything else, but it is through a person, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door to the sheepfold. He that comes in and out has to come through me. There's only one door, Jesus. There was only one door in the ark, and that's Jesus Christ. And you know something about that ark? The flood was going to come, and it says that God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door to the ark. God closed the door. And someday he's going to close the door in your life. And if you don't have Jesus, you're going to have to face an angry God. And you don't know when that door will close, and I don't know when my door will close, but I can know this, that I'm right with God, that I have Jesus in my heart because I ask him in. And he says, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you call in the Lord right now. And if you prayed that prayer, then you write to us and we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us and we'll send you literature. Also, we need to have your help. You know, James says, you have not because you ask not. Well, we're telling you, if you think this is something that's worthwhile, you have to support us. If you don't support us, we can't carry on. We'll just have to stop. And so you just ask God, how much you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And you stand by and send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then I also want to remind you that we have a special little paper. It's a little Bible study, and it's called The New Song. And you said, I'd like the new song because every month it's a new Bible study. And this month it's 8 reasons why you can get rid of discouragement. And a lot of people need that. So you ask for the new song. And if you want to worry about how we spend the money, I want to tell you something, what we need to do. You're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and you can look that up on the internet, and you can write to us, and you can know that they're audited. Everything is on board. Everything is above board. So we hope that you'll write. Now I'm going to pray, and we pray every month. We pray for a new place, and we're praying for those in Vietnam. So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that for the wonderful salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We just want to thank you and praise you because our sins can be washed away and our name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray that many will open their heart to you. We pray for those on beds of sickness and those who are discouraged. And we pray for those in Vietnam. Help them, Lord, and watch over us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So now until next week, you be sure to write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Those of you on the short wave, we'd love to hear from you. We hear from some, but we'd just like to know from and pray for us and pray that we'll honor God and we'll do that that's pleasing in His sight. And every time we have three things we do in this Christian Worship Hour. First of all, we honor God. And then we try and get people to come to know Jesus. We tell them how to come to Jesus. And then we pray for the shut-ins and those on beds of sickness and those who lost a loved one. We pray for the young people having to make choices. And with this awful drug culture now, we pray that you'll give them strength to resist temptation, not even to touch it, to have no part of it. We pray that the young people will be guided and help them to know you've got a plan for their life. And if they just open their heart to you, you'll just help them. Oh, dear Lord, we're so glad that we have this opportunity to tell him the good news. Is there any good news from God? Oh, brother, is there good news? And we just told you part of it. The whole Bible's full of the good news that God has. So next week, till next week, this is a Christian Worship Hour, and we'll be praying for you. You pray for us. God loves you. We love you. What more do you want? See you next week in Jesus' holy name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.